Just in case, I want to tell the members to activate a little bit. I sent the PMP report, my PMP report, to all of you by email. I put there the motion that we passed at the in-person meeting in LA, and some that we are discussing now, and I would like the PMB the LSB members to let me know what you think about the two that we are kind of discussing now.
To what, bylaw amendments?
They are not bylaw amendments. They are just motions that we are trying to pass. And everybody, every LSB member received
your email?
Yes, I sent it. I hope that everybody received it. If you didn't, just let me know. And I will give a copy to the winners of the next new NSB.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, can I call us back to order? We do have a good 33 minutes left. I don't necessarily have to spend the time while the calculations are made. We can continue with the agenda. Okay. And I noticed that we've got one, two. Pretty much, we're going to have two members out there. Let's go ahead and get back on track while the ballots are being counted. Back to the agenda. You have an announcement that I'm
going
to make. Yes.
We've been working under the premise that we're the fourth largest media or media market in the country. According to
Arbitron.
According to Nielsen, we're in 10th place.
Yeah.
10th.
And that's
a long way from 4th.
And you have to delineate between television audience, and radio. They break it down.
This is the also what geographical areas are combining to be a media market.
Generally, it's a metropolitan statistical area, which may include 5 counties.
Boston to Washington is one area.
That's why it's so large.
Yeah, Dallas-Fort Worth is another area there in front of us.
But yeah, you
the
really.
The radio market, or that's the
media
entire
market,
media?
Entire media. And television, we're also in 10th.
And that's for commercial purposes. That's generally used to calibrate the cost of commercials and things of that nature, so that for our purposes, the argument is there, whether it's 10th, whether it's 4th. The fact of whether, you know, our argument is whether or not we're utilizing it.
And these are extras.
It also kind of indicates
so
that some areas are
so that they're, there's an error finding the integrity of the sheet, and it was cut apart.
So people moving
so
away
make sure
from some areas
the lines match, so we know that they were returned.
But back to the KTFT recognitions. I'm sure y'all have plenty of recognitions, so I'll start on this side with the hand up.
I wrote it down. So let somebody go. I got to find it.
Okay, next. While she's finding her. You got anything, Rob? Right?
Was he struggled the twice? Plus, broke down the water to clarify.
Since the last meeting. That's pretty much my standard.
Teresa, you generally have.
Report from a committee?
No, you generally have a recognition.
Oh, recognition. Well, I would like to acknowledge the Ursula Rudenberg, who is not specifically with our station, but she is the person in charge of our affiliates. We have over 170 affiliate stations that depend upon us for AudioCorp to put out their news, and also for syndicated programs. And I just like to commend her because she just keeps doing the best she can to motivate people to join us as clients. And because they are clients, they pay money to us for those services. And I think that the National Board just needs to support her in her work. For example, just Wimberley, I met, when I went to the grassroots radio conference last summer in Ames, Iowa, I met someone from Wimberley, Texas, and this person wanted to start a low-power radio station because she found that there was nothing to help people if there was an emergency. And lo and behold, they had major flooding in Wimberley, and so the FCC is actually helping her get the license quicker.
So none of these are valid?
That's just one example of the people that person would help.
The number 13 is actually.
They have 14 ballots, right?
Yes, I do. I want to recognize one of the programs, Democracy Now!, that had longstanding broadcast traditions of, and especially their coverage of the recent events during the past several weeks around the killings, for instance, of nine black worshipers at the AME church in South Carolina, the subsequent polarization around the removal of the Confederate flag, in general, covering what is clearly an ongoing polarization among the 99%, you might say, in aiming at, and I'm not saying there's a conspiracy or anything, I'm just talking about the coverage that Congress has given these events with regard to police, for instance, killing unarmed, especially African Americans and Latinos and low income whites. And I think if there's any opportunity at all for KPFT to develop some sort of program that eventually may be syndicated along those lines and would allow and invite in broadcast journalism students from the local universities and colleges and even high schools, that would be something to really systematically attempt to do. So that repeatedly goes out to Democracy Now!, additions during the past several
years. Well, thank you. And I have two, of which I want to acknowledge the people who participated in that first ARDC meeting, which was a cross-section of, I think, the Houston area, and two programmers. I wish I had their names, but the chair is not here to identify them. I've never seen a programmer motivated to come to a meeting, and I think something that may have to do with South Carolina experience, but I think anti-racism, some of us deal with that internally. I don't see it. I see the station being able to deal with racism outside with the ARDC. In addition to that, I want to acknowledge, okay, Cliff and Cedric of the Conscious Mindset were the two.
No, Cliff is a community.
Yeah, Cliff, everybody know Cliff's show, but I'm saying Conscious Mindset, the young man, what's his name again? Cedric and Cliff were there, and like I said, I haven't seen.
And Jack Valenti.
I haven't seen programs. Call me. So I think they can always. Alberto Willis was there. To me,
and
Teresa Howe, I did try to encourage them to section off into other committees we have available and challenge them to take ownership of the great ideas that they had about bringing the station forward, because the ideas will go nowhere unless they're willing to champion them on their own. And of course, acknowledging the hard work of our personnel at the station, including the general manager, the PD, and the staff, because they haven't had a pay raise, they haven't had economic considerations for a while, and some rumor has it that Wayne Larkin, the chair, is after their pie in the sky, the 100% insurance they have, and I just want to be on record to say I'm not after taking away the one thing that seems that they say that motivate them to stay at the station. I'm only asking committees that have purview over that to explore the opportunity of using the Obama plan and putting money in their hands and letting them go out into the market. And we save thousands of dollars by not doing something that other industries have not been able to sustain, which is 100% insurance. Having said that, I do thank them continuously for their sacrifices and hope we will be able to address and ameliorate serious concerns they have about you trying to take their health insurance from them.
Yes, thank you, Marlena. Yeah, the most, a very, very, I think we're getting the word out about the genocide of our blacks. Yes. I mean, and Latinos. This is really a top priority. Anyway, something that happened recently, and I want to tell you, if you don't know who Ray Hill was, he was the first ex-con to be a manager of a radio station in the U.S. and it was KBFT. He started the prison show, and Wildenstein, after Oscar Wilde, so first gay show here in Texas, and for 35 years, I think he was on the prison show. Anyway, now he's only on the execution watch when we kill somebody, which we've done now 9 times this year. Okay. I wrote this, and I haven't sent it to him, so I thought I'd just do it here. Thanks and congratulations to Ray Hill for his years of dedicated work for human rights, to the past and present staff of Wildenstein and Queer Voices and After Hours. Those are our two GLBT shows. And for the resulting U.S. Supreme Court ruling up marriage equality. This reform will influence many countries to save lives, decrease suffering, and increase fairness and increase freedom all around the world. Sincerely, Nancy Seibar and I, Tommy. And then my afterthought, put a mic in front of a skillful, dedicated crusader, and there will be light all around the world. Dot, dot, dot. Even a crusader who was a burglar with a 150 year sentence and is a pain in the neck for judges.
All right, that is
will be. I need to like make sure that I can process it. Make sure we don't have
governance committee motion, but we're going to defer that.
We moved a total of 4 votes out. There's 6
town hall meeting. I need your help. Obviously, I asked CAB to do it. CAB chair declined a couple of months ago. I asked another committee to do it, so I took it upon myself that we are mandated to live up to some of our CPB requirements to have 2 town hall meetings a year. Years getting away from this chair. So this August, on August 8th, at SHAPE Community Center, hopefully we'll have other people coming through there, and they'll be able to witness and be in enthralled and infected with KPMT, but we'll need to develop a program for that. And ARDC, I don't think is going to take the lead, but I'll be calling on new members individually. Okay? And I think Teresa's indicated that development is going to be working on the second.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5,
right?
6, 7,
yes.
Give us a little plan, what y'all have in mind, and when you think you want to do it, what month.
But you have to look at the number of votes, and there's 4 votes total in here.
That's easy enough. You're right. Okay. And if you would like to help me with this,
I really prefer September, since we're doing August already. So
okay.
And I really would like the other three have not finished somewhere.
So therefore, we have to transfer votes from the non.
You can say where the people are. I took this thing to SHAPE strategically, because I've been trying to get it to SHAPE for the last 3 months. I'd like to see it. And some right. Other endemic area. Right. And then a third one, maybe. So, in other words, we go where the people are that we're not meeting, that we're not greeting, so we can expose them to what we're doing. I like to work with you on that. Location.
Those are done.
Whatever.
Okay, so then you look at
if I could, I'd like to get notice of when the outreach committee is going to be before the meeting. I mean, I've been asking about this for months.
C is not a valid choice because he's already
been on the telephone.
D is not a valid choice. D is already
been on the telephone. It would be good to know when the call is.
A is a valid choice.
The next outreach meeting is at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time
as one info.
On
June 29th.
Okay,
so July? July 29th. That's
the
last
meeting. So it is. Three votes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. July 29th.
Is that a Monday?
That's a Wednesday.
The current total votes is 6-4. There's still 14 votes. We haven't lost any votes. So this is an anomaly. Chuck's on. Look at the two. This one had the least.
The number is 916.
This one was 3 in the previous round. This one's 2.5 in the previous round. And 1-8.
The code is 736-15.
Is that one which is. We'll make this first thing.
I'm sorry. If they were tied all the way back, you flip a coin. If you go back.
The extension is 736-15-M.
At that point, this is the unpaid candidate. So that.
And if you would like, if you'd like to receive a notice, just raise your, other than sending me, sending to LSB at KateMachete.org, raise your hand.
For Luke.
Okay. No, F was Deborah. Deborah Shaft.
Okay. I'm sorry. Not. See, I didn't know what letter were.
So, yeah. See, that's why I wanted to do
it.
I
remember who they were. Yes.
I really have a call like on you for this town hall meeting. So, first, you can get the loud section. You can do a breakout.
Which is, there was an elimination of the
license plan to deal with some of the issues. Treasurer's report, we're going to defer that. Now we go.
Let's do it correctly, just for government's sake.
All right.
Okay, these are the votes that are going to be made. This one
are you sure we don't want
go.
A treasurer's
report? We're going to come back, but he's doing what he's doing.
To spoil, exhausted.
Okay. Natalie, the local election supervisor, got called away for an emergency. I have a couple of candidate nomination packages.
He's been eliminated. That's an exhausted
package. If anybody needs one.
You're exhausted.
And to clarify the question from the chair earlier, it is true that a staff nomination sheet must be signed by a qualified voter who is paid or unpaid staff.
Yeah, we did it before.
Five endorsements from staff if you're running as staff, 15 from anyone. If you're running as a listener.
So that's there.
Just to clarify and that. And to also add to some of the information that Nancy had just shared in recognizing Ray, Ray had a heart attack last Friday.
Even when this
he
one
is in Ventaw and he's doing well.
It was never.
He sends his love to everyone.
So this was about the
age. Well, Ray, so I had a brief conversation with him.
Yeah, when he got transferred, it was still worth one.
The surgical team
elimination candidate, therefore,
that had been assigned to him.
Then number one,
so that's
number two,
was sent away.
Then D.
He has
D?
A severe and infection, cellulitis in his one good leg. He's on a drip antibiotic, some heavy duty like MRSA type 3 antibiotic stuff that he'll be on for probably a
million qualifications.
As far as the heart attack, they were considering until this afternoon the possibility of a stent. But they've decided at this point that they're going to just let him ride as is. So they're just dealing with the infection. And he expects that he'll probably be there for another week. So any prayers, good thoughts?
Does he want visitors?
Does he want visitors?
Does he want visitors or does he want to go?
He didn't ask. But, Ray likes people.
Maybe the question should be, should he have
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, I would.
People are waiting.
I don't have a good number.
Mr. General Manager, let me suspend you for just a minute and get the call, and we'll come back.
Okay.
Get the call on the election, Mr. Election Supervisor.
Okay. The leading candidate, the first candidate elected. In the first round, was candidate C, Wesley Bethune.
Wow.
The second candidate elected.
It's okay to clap.
After the second round transfers, was candidate D, Bernadine Williams. There was one elimination. by, which was the tie was broken by previous vote count, according to the Cape Pacifica method. And that allowed candidate one, Deb Shafto, to be the third candidate.
So according to certification from my election supervisor, the person who will be replacing the Urzel seat is Wesley Bethune, which means Wesley Bethune would not necessarily have to run for election in this upcoming general election.
Sell those jokes.
So
we've been spared.
So and we have three elected members of our body. We will ask you to come and take your seats.
Oh, question, Mr. Chairman.
Moving on up.
You may find a seat at the table.
A question, Mr. Chairman.
Hop over table.
Are we going to designate as specifically whom then?
Yes. We have a process that has been put forth by our former chair that we declare that right now. And it should be declared based on the way that the votes came in. So as I understood, the second person in line is Shafto. The second person in line is Ms. Bernadette Williams, correct?
Yes.
And the third person is Bernadine Williams. And the third person is Shafto. So in effect, that is your second and third position. It's stated already.
But I'd also ask that you designate
the names
of who they're replacing. Well, just
exactly.
For the record.
I'm sorry. The first one that quit was Colleen O'Brien.
Which means the first one
the second one.
The first one who comes up is the winner, the overall winner. That would be
for Richard.
For Richard, yourself.
That would be Bethune.
Yes.
So what you're saying to replace the second one then would be?
The first one that quit, that was Colleen O'Brien.
Would be Ms. Williams.
Okay. Wouldn't that be the first one?
The third person would be Ms. Shafto.
And that would be
replacing
Jarrell Robbins.
Jarrell Robbins.
Okay.
Okay, I got it. I'll correct the form.
Very good.
For the correction that was made, and I'll put these names in and send it all out to everybody.
And Mr. Paulo, then, believe me, if I get elected, you probably will get elected in this 9 or 12 if you run. That's just the way things generally run. So you'll only be deferred for a few months, barring someone doesn't quit tomorrow.
Yes. Point of information, and that is another clarifying question, and that is, can we also clarify as to whether or not our newly elected Bernadine Williams and Deb Shafto have to run in the general election?
That's already clarified by the fact of the motion we passed, which made Mr. Zell seat the one that doesn't have to run.
So all the other two do.
The other two have to.
Okay.
Well, now, cleaning
Mr.
all
Chair,
the... Go ahead.
In light of the occurrences tonight, I would like to offer that we offer Jeff Shafto an excused absence since we granted one to George and she's with him.
Well, technically, she's not on the roll until next roll call.
Exactly.
Technically.
Okay, well,
so
you
that's okay.
See the people, so I didn't know.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm sorry, but...
They didn't make the roll call.
We talked about that before. We received Liana Lopez...
Yeah, we did.
Excuse at 6:02 p.m. The cutout time is 4,
I did
right?
Confirm that with mine.
The second, I know. The second one is George Ryder. We received it at 6:48 p.m.
So not excused.
And Susan Radwan at 6:58.
I have a point of information that I would like answered.
Yes, sir.
How come when I read those times right off my form, I was advised that cell phone times are not accurate? But when other people look on their cell phones to establish times, all of a sudden they're accurate.
No, nobody says
so. I think it's a fair question. I think it's a fair question because I said that I've seen different emails I sent out with different timelines. So I do have an issue. But to me, it seems cell phones and texts tend to be more in real time than emails are. So I think it's a fair question. It's
well,
something
you had
that
said
we
it to me
deal.
When I read the Times because I pointed out that all these people were late. And you said, I don't think they're accurate, but the only information we now have his cell phone.
No, no. I'm sorry. I want to correct something.
No, just send an email.
I didn't realize that you were seeing 6:40. I was thinking that you were talking about 6 a.m. when you read the timing. That's why I was thinking, well, 6 a.m. obviously is enough time.
Yes, sir.
Just for clarification, because I think it's a good point, our rule that we was that it would be received, not sent, but received by the ELSB list by that time. And if you look at the email, its headers should show. So if their clock was ahead, you'll actually see that it was received on time. So it's possible that somebody would send it in. It might say 6 p.m., but if I look in the mail trace headers, we can find the right time.
Let's do that, so yeah, we'll be consistent.
But the rule is 3 hours ahead.
Right. Which would be 3 o'clock. I mean, 4 p.m. 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
So let's just do the header thing to be consistent, because I know, I do admit that emails are not real time, many times. Text, on the other hand, are most often real time.
My understanding is that notices were designated to be that by email could be accepted. Now, as far as cell phone goes, that is not designated in any meeting that I know of in terms of giving written notice or request. Only by email. Now, keep in mind, even though we may not necessarily receive the email on time within the 3 hours, nonetheless, it will be generally dated when it was.
That's what the secretary just said. Right. So he's going to check that date that it was sent by that person's email. That's what we can go by.
Mr. Chair, I move that we add text and telephone communications to this. Because they're just as valid, they're actually more current and more apt to be timely.
Well, I think that's something I'm going to defer to the governor's committee.
Mr. Chair, may I say something? The date that we have in the emails were sent to the LSB, and all of you, when you check your emails, will see that the time is exactly the same in all the emails. We can differ about phones and everything, but they may have a certain time. Check at what time we receive it. I just confirmed with her, and she have the same time, and she have even a different, totally different system.
6:48
and 24
seconds.
We're running out of time.
We
made our general manager
here.
So
what are we putting that Hank said that
we're
going to put to the governance?
For the sake of argument, tell me what time this test email I just sent you have. Now, while she's checking that, we're not going to rehash these excuses.
Or you send the LSB?
LSB. Let's go ahead and defer back to the general manager's report, and we can clean this mess up.
953, sir.
That's pretty accurate then, isn't it? Because I've got 953, and that's Gmail, okay? All right. I think that kind of gonna help solve the problem right there, Mr. Secretary, when you check these timelines.
Exactly.
Mr. General Management, we're back in your hands.
All right. Well, thank you.
Let the record reflect Mr. Paulina is arrived.
At 9:55.
At 9:55.
Well, it's 9:54 now, isn't it?
9:54.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Oh, make it 9:54.
Beyond the extra information there about Ray, y'all have hard copies. I emailed everybody copies of the finance reports and the written reports. What I wanted to make sure you did not miss reading is about KPFD being broken into last Saturday night. The backup generator in our backyard was stolen. We have no video evidence of anyone. The neighbors behind us have a video camera on their garage. I met the gentleman after the police left Monday, and he said he had some footage, he would look at it and get back to me. I knocked on his door. Well, I rang his doorbell because he has a gate, but before coming here tonight and I don't have anything to report on that. But a police report has been filed. Anything we can find will be turned over to HPD, and maybe we can catch somebody. It happened sometime in the overnight on the 4th of July, Saturday night, and it was discovered actually by Bob Gardner on Sunday. He called me, and when I spoke with the neighbors, they had noticed that our gate had been broken open, that it was swinging loose early Sunday morning. When I went out and looked at the shed, the shed had the handles to the door popped off. The same thing had happened to the back gate. It had been just broken loose from its hinges. And the heavy-duty chain that was screwed 3 feet into the ground holding this generator had been pulled out into the yard as far as it would go, and then bolt cutters were used. So we have some of this evidence. But
what is the amperage of that tobacco?
pardon?
What's the amperage of that?
Power, actually.
It's an 8,000 watt generator, 9,400 watt peak capacity.
What year was it purchased? What year was it purchased?
It was donated to us about a dozen, 10 or 11 years ago. Okay. So it was a gift from the folks who were on the building committee. We've looked at replacement models. They range similar units, actually with a little bit more capacity, because it's hard to find one that's an 8,000 watt unit anymore. But a 10,000 watt unit can be had for between $1,600, $1,700, in between $1,000 and $2,000. We've got a couple hundred dollars already given to us for that purpose. Insurance, if Pacifica is still currently carrying insurance, I'm certain that we don't hit any deductible level for something like this. So we're gonna have to eat it. But I hope we catch some people. It really irritates me knowing that. There's a high likelihood that this is a friend of a friend of the station. Because the reality to me is it's been in this shed for a decade, and it's never been touched. But 2 weeks ago on Saturday night, we had a power outage, and that thing ran until almost 4 o'clock in the morning. And so a lot of people in the neighborhood and a lot of people who aggregate around the station on Saturday nights were well aware of this unit and had ample opportunity to scope it out. And whether it was some friend of a friend who was hanging out on the back porch at KPFT late night on Saturday, or whether it was some alley rat person just, wandering around Montrose, hearing it because the neighborhood was quiet and the thing ran for many, many hours after dark. It's really irritating. And when we looked for video footage from the station, whether this is coincidental or not, the little control mechanism that's in the control room had either been purposely or accidentally tampered with, and a reset button had been pushed. And this is not like just sitting out easily.
It's purposeful, almost.
Yeah, it appears to be somewhat purposeful. Because when we were looking at things, it had been reset to 2009.
I'll get a stack. Let him complete.
So Bobby is still in the process of pulling up as much information from that. I have high hopes, though, that the neighbor behind us, with some really nice motion detector, high-tech equipment.
I need a motion to extend.
Motion to extend. Second.
How many minutes?
15.
Well, this is the whole meeting.
Thank you.
15 for the whole meeting. Dwayne, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So, I'll keep you posted as we learn or don't learn anything, but the risk that the station is under right now is simply this, that if there's a power outage in Montrose in our neighborhood, and we've had more than a handful of them over the course of the last year, sometimes very minor weather incidents, and sometimes not even weather related, the thing goes out. and it frequently lasts 40 to 45 minutes. We are now subject to losing a whole lot of our capacity because the battery backups are going to last about 12 minutes. We don't have the generator to run out back and then get at least the broadcast wing powered back up. So we're going to fix this as soon as we can. I'd throw it on a credit card immediately, but I'm not going to buy another unit and then have us ripped off again until we can figure out how to secure this. So the building committee is well aware of this. We've already talked. We're going to be looking at different options Saturday morning on how we can better secure a replacement for this. But until then, I hope that we don't have any power outages lasting more than about 10, 12 minutes in the Montrose neighborhood. Because when we don't get that generator running and get power back into the systems, all of the synchronization for pulling things off of the satellites, all of the computers that are set up for the automation systems and everything like that, all of that gets out of whack. Everything has to be reset. It's a technology issue that's a real pain that we've had to deal with in the past, which is why we've got so many of these UPS systems in the engineering room and in the control room too. So the transmitter is...
Well, Mr. Manager, before you get to the transmitter, Adriana, was your question germane to the transmitter, or was it germane? Was your question germane to the transmitter?
No, the break-in.
Okay, go ahead with your question.
I just wanted to ask you, with the reset button thing, does that mean that the footage was, like, deleted?
I can't say whether it was deleted or whether it was installed in a way that it recorded improperly. That's something Bobby's looking into right now.
Is yours germane to the transmitter
yes.
or this?
Yes. I wanted, you said that you can put the credit card there. What I will offer is just, how much is the cost of the credit card?
16.
How much is the cost?
Yes. Between 1,000, I mean, I found a good one at Granger's for $1,667, but the building committee have found one they think would be just as good for a little over 1,000.
What I offer is to loan the money. I mean, till you recover it some way. But
well,
I think that
honestly,
what you say.
I appreciate that, and honestly, it's not so much about the money as it is about
security.
What are we going to do with it?
Yeah.
I mean, we can't run it inside the building and lock it in a room.
You're going to have to build a cage, aren't you? That
yes.
sits up from the ground. So that's
right.
another expense. Another
concrete
one.
Cage.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we're going to be looking into that Saturday.
Right.
And
okay.
Saturday morning at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
We'd like to be part of that.
Okay.
In the meantime, is any option to rent one just in case? Because what you say, you don't want to miss.
Go down.
I mean, till that is...
How are you going to secure that?
Some of them are portable.
Yes, portable.
Some of them are portable.
Yes, portable.
And we can have it inside,
the
small one that keep at least the minimum running.
Put it outside in case of emergency.
Right, and put it outside if you...
When you need it.
Just in the meantime.
I'll look into that.
Can we
okay.
finish your report?
Well, I've got one more question here.
Again, a follow-up on the video cameras. I mean, please give us an answer. Your answer did not address the question.
I did answer the question.
No. I will ask my question first so that it's very clear. And that is, was the video reset? You said it was reset, or it appeared to be reset to 2009. And then you answered by saying you don't know if it was installed correctly. My question is, has it ever been looked at? Has any
yes.
video footage ever
yes.
been looked at from the security cameras?
Yes.
And if not, then what will be done and how soon a time to ensure that these video cameras are functioning correctly and will guard the rest of the property on the premises?
Gotcha. Thanks for the question. The answer is yes. They have been looked at. They have recorded things. We have looked at things.
Right.
Well, guess what? I mean, are you going to ensure? That's not an answer. Are you, what steps are you taking to ensure that these video cameras will be functioning properly as soon as possible? What's the deadline that you have set?
Engineers and technicians are working on it daily. Okay?
So what's the deadline by
how
which
many questions
you
do you want to ask me?
I want to know. I want to answer. Have you given them a deadline? Because well, now we have unsecured property. The whole premises is unsecured.
In court, that's Patrick.
Well, she's asking for it. Mr. General Manager, do you have a timeline you've established to get this addressed with the technology folk? Or
we're meeting on Saturday morning, and everything is being done between now and then to determine what we have and what we need to have.
So you have a better answer for such questions Saturday after you meet with technology folks, right?
Sure.
Okay. That's pretty much the best answer I think you can bring forward. All right. It's on you. Going to transmitter now.
Great. Please. You know, I don't even know that I want to talk about the transmitter. Let me talk about the budget. I met with the Finance Committee and came away from that meeting very disappointed that the members of the Finance Committee and the Budget Committee here of this board voted 4-2 against a balanced, fiscal, conservative, revenue-positive budget that did all the things that have been talked about that nobody on this board would actually address, which is how to increase revenue so that we don't have to fire people from different departments at the station, so that we don't have to reduce wages and reduce staff, so that we can give part-time staff members a living wage increase, so that people who have worked at the station for years, if not a decade or more, might actually get a salary increase above the one at which they were hired, whenever that may have been. The staff at the station came to that meeting with this budget and was basically shot down and was then, I believe, though I haven't seen this in writing, given an instruction to come back again in a month with an austerity budget that essentially does like a Greek fiscal death knot twist on the KPFD budget, demanding a 10% cut across the board in expenses, and I don't know that that's actually possible if we're going to maintain a functional radio station. And so the budget that the KPFT staff provided, the budget that the treasurer of this board has endorsed as prudent and fiscally accurate, was rejected by this group. I find that dismaying, and I feel that as if KPFT is being walked down a path of irresponsibility that most of the other LSBs have caused most of the other radio stations to walk down, where every preceding year, whatever personal differences might exist politically amongst members of the board and the committee, fiscally accurate budgets have been presented and passed in a timely fashion to where KPFT singularly in the network has each year started the new fiscal year on October 1st with a passed budget. This year I'm dismayed and feel as if that is somewhat unlikely given the experience I had a couple of weeks ago with the Finance Committee. So that to me is a more important question conversationally that I would love to engage in with the board as a whole rather than just a few members of you who participate on the Finance Committee itself. The transmitter issue is a minor subset, though a very important subset of finance questions. The rest of it's all in writing. You can read it.
Well, we do have a couple of questions.
Mr.
Lamb?
What was the total amount of the budget that you proposed?
$1.3 million.
We do have a
creek.
Mr. Chairman, I don't know if there's a point of order or a point of personal privilege.
Try.
Has the chair acknowledged the arrival of Ms. Apollinar?
Yes. I've been heard that well, but I think the secretary heard me. Yeah. Now we're doing our own thing. Next on the list is Adriana.
Yes. I think that it's a shame that you don't have the mischaracterization that you just did about our meeting in finance in writing, because it's a good thing that we have recorders, but what you just state is not exactly what happened there.
Can you speak up a little?
Yes, it's not exactly what happened in the finance committee.
Did you use the term mischaracterization?
Yes.
Would you kind of say that again? I don't think they heard.
Yes, it's a mischaracterization of the meeting. The meeting have two. We have two meetings, and the treasurer didn't set yet the next finance meeting schedule. But we have the first meeting, and we talk about a lot of those issues. Some of them, I don't want to repeat it now, but in an executive session, I can say some of those. And we asked the general manager to come up with, we even have some measures that need to be taken, because the reality is we are in the red. We are always in the red. In the last 10 years, we ran $500,000 debt that other bad stations of the foundation are paying for. Okay, that is the reality. Doesn't matter what we discuss. You can put all the faces that you want, but you can go and check out the numbers. Then we asked that. In the meeting that the general manager referred to, he came up with a new budget that the only thing that did is inflate revenues that doesn't have any way. We were asking during that meeting any explanation how now suddenly that we are asking to cut because we want to go in the red, suddenly the only solution is inflating the revenues. It's the same thing that we are complaining that other stations are doing. That's why the Finance Committee said we need to come up with a cut that is something safe. Go 10% under. The numbers that we present, that were present to us, have to do with the history. What is happening, how much we are collecting in the fundraisers. I mean, that is what we are talking about. That is fiscally conservative, right? Then what he just said is not true. The finance is still discussing the issue.
Mr. Davis?
Well, I just wanted to point out, this shows how important business that goes on in this committee, as on other committees, and we have new members who have been set, and I believe they can immediately join those committees, and I would advise you to do so if you're concerned about this issue.
And also, we do kind of have one more report we want to get to with the finance treasurer who has been referred to, but as a member of that committee, I pointed out that we're 20% under our projections with respect to our last two budgets. We consistently are under 20% of our fulfillment of our pledges. So if we come into a meeting and we know that we were at $1.2 million last year and we were 20% short all the time, it seems unreasonable to come up with a $1.3 going further into the red. So some of us were concerned about cutting back, and my number was 20%. So it seems like 10% was a compromise or what have you. But I would allow the manager to respond. I've got a stack with what ended with Mr. Davis. Mr. Lamb, I'm going to go back to you because a lot has been said since he last spoke.
Sure.
If he cares to respond.
Yeah, I would have to respectfully disagree with Adriana. And, you know, I wish that we could work better on this, and it seems as if we have an inability to do this. For a dozen consecutive years, the staff at KPFT have created fiscally responsible budgets, and we use a process that goes back to well before I was at KPFT called Truman Revenue Budgeting, and we look at what we've done. We do not do what the other stations do and just say, well, we're gonna invent some new thing that's gonna be like better than sliced bread. We say, hey, you know, we predicted that we were going to do maybe $40,000 in car donations
money in 2014, but we're averaging well over $4,000 a month now, so I think it's safe to assume that we can do a little bit better, and never going more than 10% above anything that you have done. So it's not irresponsible, it's very, it's actually very responsible. And as opposed to being...
Can you
put the volume down?
He's tired.
If I just not like it, it costs diabetes either. I won't die.
It's 10:07, Mr. Chair.
I think we're time.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, I need another extension.
Mr. Chair.
Do I have
time,
a motion to extend?
At what time
do
you have to leave?
Huh?
At what time?
Well, one good thing about this room.
We have a second.
We paid for it, so you can't have 12 o'clock meetings. We only paid for 3 hours. So that means we need to be out of here in 14 minutes, or that little beep, 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 beep will start going off.
Motion for 14 minutes.
Motion for 14 minutes. Do I have a second? Any objections?
I object.
Uh-oh. Yes, they try to
object.
My objection is we have 14 minutes to get out of here.
Exactly.
We've never done that. We've never adjourned a meeting in the room in 14 minutes.
I think you got a very good point.
Can we have a 5 minutes? Can we have a 5 minute to wrap
but
up?
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, next week there is a scheduled LSV special delegates meeting.
Right.
It is the chair's hope that you already have your mind made up about the one amendment that we'll be voting on. So we will use the remaining of that time to go into LSV session and finish this business, okay?
Next Wednesday.
Next week, Wednesday, it's posted. Y'all need to look at your websites and look
yes,
at
please.
Your, what is,
well,
what is
supposed
published
to send out
to
notifications.
Well, it was sent out, and it is sent out. It was sent out a month ago. So all I'm saying is it's on KPFTX.
If they're not working or not.
It's on Kate, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I want to remind everybody that Mr. Audrey McLean, that is in charge of all of this, he said that was a problem with the system in the last 2 days or 3 days. It's not before. Everything is there. We need to keep watching because they are trying to solve the issue right now.
Okay.
But that happened in the last few days. That have nothing to do with the KPTFT list. That is a different problem.
And
okay?
It's published on today's but agenda.
May I ask for a
yeah,
5 minutes...
Right.
Can we spend 5 minutes at least, and then we will keep
five
and wrap
minutes.
Up?
Do I have any objections?
Objection.
No,
I do have an objection.
What is so important?
Let him finish his...
The respect for the general manager's report, and I thought we'd at least hear a response from the treasurer, but no.
We'd like to if you give me a chance.
I mean, 5 minutes, if we allow the general manager two to close, and we'll give three to the
With no comments from the LSB?
With no questions.
Well,
yes.
No, this propaganda.
No questions and comments.
I'm against.
That's
all
that we do is
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Propaganda for the
area. Mr. General Manager, go ahead and conclude, please.
So KPFT will be in a summer mini-drive attempting to raise $140,000 from the 2nd to the 9th of August, and anything you can do to help would be greatly appreciated. And I'd like you to listen to your treasurer, if you would, please.
Okay, well, that'll be really brief. I don't think it's correct to characterize the budget as needing 10% in cuts. I just don't quite understand where that comes from, where you think that it needs to be cut by 10%. And that's a really drastic cut. You know, we've already cut an awful lot in the last few years. And when you start cutting, there's a lot of expenses that you can't cut without really affecting operations. Are you going to turn off the air conditioning in the station? Are you going to only operate 8 hours a day on the air? Are you going to not pay the water bill? Or
no.
There's lots of phone bills. We have, I don't know, 15 or 20 phone lines. And they're all needed. And there's just a lot of expenses people don't think about. And so, and it's not fair to the staff that they go 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 years without a salary increase. And also, I suppose Wayne wanted to raise the salary of the part-time people from $10 to $15 an hour, which is still not a lot. But I think it's very warranted. And you know, it's just not necessary to make these cuts that you're talking about. I mean, I agree very much with what Adrian is talking about the importance of not having deficit spending. But if there is a deficit, it's just that we didn't raise the $200,000 2 years ago that we wanted to raise for the transmitter and to related things. That doesn't mean that we're losing money on everything else. And also, don't forget, somebody mentioned that you know, fulfillment rates usually about 80%. That's correct. That's actually already in the budget. It's already worked in. Every year that's worked into the budget, that's actually better than a lot of the other stations. And it depends a lot on whether how many people a credit card versus, you know, claiming promise by check. And I encourage you all, you ought to look at the spreadsheets that Robin sends out after every fund drive, usually about every other day in every fund drive.
We've been having a problem getting there. I've been conferring with her, but our website is not getting it. For your last 30 seconds or so, the former treasurer, Mr. Boyd, and yourself, could you answer the budget submitted, the budget approved, versus the fulfillment of that budget? But once at the end of the budget year, how much percentage were actually brought in that was projected in our 2014 budget versus 2015?
It's really close.
Okay. Mr. Boyd, I want you to comment.
No, but there are times that there's less, but there are. You look at what Dwayne does every year, he doesn't spend it if he doesn't have it.
Right.
That's the difference. If you say you're going to earn $100, you earn 20. If you only spend 20, and you still have a station that's working, it's worth it.
Right.
And that's what Dwayne does.
There's things Dwayne and I disagree with. There's some things I don't like about it, what he does. I'm sure he has a lot of things he doesn't like about what I do or what the LSP does or doesn't do. But, you know, he's better than any of the GMs in Pacifica about just what Jim was talking about. If the revenue is not where we want it to be, he doesn't keep spending money or increase money like some of the other stations have been doing. And that's one of the reasons why Pacifica has such really serious, I mean, this is what we should be worried about. The really serious, you know, $3 million of deficit that Pacifica has. That's real, folks. And
but that's above our pay grade. That's above our pay grade, though.
Well,
but we need to deal with here locally.
That's the problem.
I'm sorry, May 31st.
All right, now we have expended the time that's been allowed. We will have this frank discussion next session.
Mr. Chair, I want to give a number. I want to give a number. This was presented at the PMB. This is the monthly preliminary and unaudited. For this station, at May 31st, 2015, we are in the income. We are almost $158,000 under.
In the red?
In red, yes, till May 31st.
Well, I'm comparing with a budgeted $200,000 capital.
There's a $200,000 expense in there.
So if you take that out, that's about $42,000.
$42,000 surplus.
Yes. No.
And our expenses are lower than budgeted as well, and if you factored that in, it's actually where we even further in the positive side, not negative side.
But I think, ladies and gentlemen, it's been encouraged you come to the Finance Committee meeting so that you can get involved intimately in this back and forth, because every organization have budget fights. Every organization, management is upset with the board for not approving their budget. This happens, and we just have to find a way to work through it. Yes, sir.
Move adjournment.
No such animal. It's done. We've expended all the time that we spent.
This room cleared out and cleaned out.
Yes. And y'all pay attention to your LSP email, please.
It's disgusting down here.
Wednesday, right here. Since we're not having an election, I guess we'll have a little more room.
I took minus
$1. I'm telling you, I'm going to have people who cough without covering their mouths.
Guard it with your life. You can cough about it.
Well, no, that's because it's not a lot of people coughing. When I used to be sad, some of these people years ago, someone coughed at me and I lost 20 pounds, and I'm about to be able to keep eating. She was here earlier. Thank you for your hard work in the cab.